In the Old Testament, there was a revelation about who God is. And any revelation about who God is also is a revelation about who we are, because we are in God's image. And so the insight of the Jews was that God was not some statue, some invented mythology like the pagans, but real and the only God. And then secondly, that he was not an abstract principle or a perfection on high, but a passionate lover, one who was in love with Israel. I will be your God and you will be my people. So it was all about a relationship and a covenant. And the later prophets began to speak of that covenant even in terms of marriage, so that there was an intimate and passionate love that God had for Israel and expected that same kind of love back. And so the Old Testament is the story of the fidelity of God to that relationship, to that covenant, and the infidelity periodically of Israel. Israel seems fickle, back and forth, passionately in love with God and then withdrawing from God at different periods of history. In the New Testament, Christ, the eternal Son, incarnated into Jesus of Nazareth, reveals an even deeper truth about God and about us, and that is that we are in union. We're not just in a strong relationship with one another, we are in each other. And the one who develops this theme the most is St. John in his gospel. And in that gospel, after the Last Supper, Jesus prays for his disciples, and he prays, Father, may they be one, may they be in union, in the same way that I am in you and you are in me, that we are one, that we are in union with one another. And that was the very last line of the gospel we heard this morning. The Father and I are one. And, of course, that's the great mystery of the Trinity, isn't it? That there are three distinct persons, that there's individuality within the Godhead, and yet such intimate love, such self-giving, that they are in each other, indwelling. And so Jesus prays for us that we might be in God, and that God might be in us, so that someone could legitimately say, anyone who sees me is seeing God. And we celebrate that sacramentally in the Eucharist, where we eat and drink of God. God flows through our veins. God becomes part of us, indwells. But as St. Augustine points out, the real miracle is not God coming into me, it's me going into God. It's me becoming in union with God. This revelation that Jesus brings points out the great lie that has existed since the Garden of Eden. And the lie is that there is separation, that there is alienation from God. On humans' part, we withdraw from God. God has never withdrawn from us. The separation is on our part, not on God's. God is never so angry that he abandons us. God is never so disappointed that he loses faith in us. God sees what we don't see. God forever holds his part of the relationship. God never withdraws. So God has always been in us. Now, we can choose not to be in God. And that's what sin is. It's the choice of separateness, the great lie that I'm not part of God, or that God is not involved in me. And that's what communion, Holy Communion, what it sacramentalizes, is that great union that has always existed, but now I get to acknowledge it. I get to celebrate it. I get to return the favor, return the gift. God has given God's self completely for me, dying on the cross for me, Now I have the opportunity to return that self-gift. And so Eucharist is about self-offering. It's about losing myself so that God may completely fill me. What characterizes Jesus more than anything else in the Gospels? He's always giving himself over to the Father's will. Not my will, but yours be done. He's always for the other. He doesn't seem to have any self-concern. Self-concern is death. Self-giving is life eternal. And that's what we celebrate in the Christian life. How do we become in union with God? By self-offering. In that second reading from the book of Revelation, St. John envisions this huge throng in this great liturgy that lasts forever. And his vision is based on the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a harvest feast in the spring. Tabernacle means tent. And so during the harvest season, in order to not waste any time, they would not travel every morning out to the field. They set up tents in the field so that they were right there at dawn, ready to harvest. But it also harkened back to the days of their nomadic existence where they actually lived in tents all the time, and how there was a central tent for God in the middle of the camp, and then all the tents for the humans were surrounding that. So God tented with God's people. God lived with them. God became one with them. And so John envisions this great liturgy that is the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Not only do we celebrate God living among us, but we celebrate our living in God. And so this angel asks John, who's seeing the vision, who do you think these people are? And John says, well, you would know better than I. And so the angel answers him. These are the ones who have survived the great trial and distress. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they have made them white. What a wonderful image. But what it's saying is, it's Paschal. It's about dying. You can't get to be a member of this great throng unless you've died, unless you've given up your self-concern, let go of your fears, let go of your ego, died to all that sinful self that is about separation, and allowed yourself to become part of the throng, part of the body of Christ, part of God. One of the images I love during the Easter season is over and over again in the liturgy, it uses the word Paschal joy. Well, Paschal is Passover. It's about dying. The Paschal Lamb offers himself for our salvation. Paschal joy is, it's almost like an oxymoron. How can there be joy in death? How can there be joy in suffering, in letting go? But that's the great irony of Christian life, isn't it? That there is Paschal joy. And really the only joy, the only real joy is Paschal. Because everything else is an illusion. Everything else is temporary. It's a pleasure here, an enjoyment there, but it's not true and lasting joy. This is the recognition during this Easter season that real joy, lasting joy, eternal joy is being with God and being in God and allowing God forever to come into me.